And it's been almost a year since Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 disappeared without a trace. And there are myriad theories about what happened.
What in the hell happened to Malaysia Air Flight 370?
I'm absolutely certain that the southern corridor was the right corridor.
A small black hole would suck in our entire universe, so we know it's not that. Bermuda Triangle is often weather.
The Malaysians this morning did say they are still extending the search into the South China Sea.
Could Malaysia Flight 370 have also turned into a so-called zombie plane?
Well, the consensus now, based on satellite data, is that the plane flew south for hours after it dropped off the radar and crashed into the Indian Ocean. Jeff Wise doesn't buy that. He was an aviation analyst for CNN for months after the plane went missing, and he spent the last year trying to piece together the facts. He lays out his theory in this week's New York Magazine, which you can link to at hereandnow.org. And Jeff, you think the plane flew north and landed?
So that was the question I asked myself. Is it possible that this plane could have gone somewhere else? Are we misunderstanding what these signals are telling us? And the short answer is that yes. I think there is a way. It's a somewhat incredible and convoluted scheme that somebody could perpetrate to fake some of these signals. And it's rather an outrageous scenario. I admit fully that it sounds a little bit crazy, but frankly, at this point, we're so desperate to try to make sense of this data that I said, let's look at this and let's see how it could physically at least be possible.
So lay it out. How do you think that it would have happened? How do you think it would have gone down if your theory is correct?
So in order for this to have worked, it turns out the 777s, and I was surprised to learn this myself, but 777s, They're what's called a fly-by-wire plane. It means that in an old-fashioned plane where the pilot would move a stick and a cable would essentially move the tail or the ailerons. In a modern fly-by-wire plane, the computer sends signals to the control surfaces, and that computer is located in a place called the Electronics and Equipment Bay, or EE Bay. Now, in a 777, somewhat astonishingly, the hatch that leads to that compartment is located in the front of the first class cabin. And it's generally left unlocked. And that means that a clever hijacker could pull up a piece of carpet, open a hatch, and go down in there. And if this sounds incredible to you, there's actually video on YouTube where you can watch a Varig pilot taking a cameraman down into this bay. And inside this bay, you have all the computers that run the airplane. And you also have the computers that tell the satellite communications unit where it is. And if you hack into that, you can change the frequency at which the satellite communication system transmits. That is the only reason we think that this plane went south. And so I argue by walking into the EE bay of a 777, you can spoof the signals.
But how could you do that with passengers in there?
With passengers in the plane?
Yeah, without them stopping you from doing that.
Well, the hatch is located in between the first class lavatory and the galley where the flight attendants prepare the food and whatnot. It's not really directly visible to the seats where people are sitting. So you could conceivably wait until the flight attendants are doing their meal service and just go down there.
And at that point, you would make it very difficult for people on the ground to figure out where the plane was going.
Right. So what you could do, and indeed this is what happened, somebody on the plane turned off the transponder, which is what makes the plane appear on the air traffic control radars. Someone turned off the ACARS system, which is what tells the airline personnel on the ground certain things about the plane, basically made the airplane go electronically dark. And initially there were some theories that perhaps there was an accident, maybe there was a fire that took out this equipment. But several things about the flight give a strong indication that there was not an accident, that what happened to the plane was indeed intentional. And the question pretty much for most of the last 12 months has been, who did it?
And do you have any answer to that with your theory? Do you have anybody who would have a motivation to, as you say, land the plane?
Well, the question of motivation is a really tough one, and nobody benefited seemingly from this case. However, if we look at where the plane went, that gives us a hint of who might have done it. Now, it turns out, as I mentioned, part of this Inmarsat data can be corrupted or spoofed. The other half of it can't. And the data that remains that I think is pretty much incorruptible by itself gives a pretty good idea of where the plane went. And it's hard to arrive at any place other than Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan obviously is a Russian ally. In fact, within Kazakhstan, pretty close to where the route probably wound up, you have a place called Baikonur, which is the famous cosmodrome from which manned space launches take place. And on this, in this oval of territory that's leased by Russia from Kazakhstan, there's a great big airstrip that sat largely disused for the last 30 years or so. And I argue that this could be a potential place where the plane might have gone. Whether it's Russia or Kazakhstan, you're looking essentially, this is either Russia or a Russian ally. If you look at a country that has been acting somewhat aggressively in the world stage, if you look at a country that has a incredibly sophisticated aerospace capability, basically somebody who might have the means and the motive, you're pretty much looking at Russia. And as it turns out, there were three ethnic Russians on the plane.
But why would they want a passenger plane from Malaysia?
Well, that's, as I say, I mean, the question of motive is the great imponderable. And I think it's very hard to look at this and say this is a rational thing for anybody to do. So motive is a problem for any theory that you're going to come up with, frankly.
So don't we have satellite imagery of that airport? Couldn't we see if there was a brand new, you know, Malaysia 777 on the runway at some point?
So the plane would have landed about an hour and a half before sunrise on March 8th. And I indeed spent a lot of time looking at commercially available satellite imagery of that airstrip and seeing if anything had changed, if there was a building where the plane could have been stashed. And intriguingly, I in fact found that in the months before the plane disappeared, workers had started to do some kind of demolition work accompanied by the construction of what looks like a patch of dirt. And I don't really know what it is, but it happens to be the same width as a 777. If people, this is all up on the New York Magazine website.
Well, and there are probably some people who are listening to this going, this guy is crazy. This theory is so implausible. How could this possibly be the case? You've spent the last year looking into this. You say you made so much money covering this on CNN at the beginning and then lost it all trying to figure out if your theory was correct.
Yeah, I really went down a rabbit hole. And anyone who would listen to this and say this guy is crazy, I would kind of agree with. I mean, it is an outrageous hypothesis. But the more you look at MH370, the more outrageous the mystery is. And I think we have to look, something happened to this plane. And if we're grasping at straws, so be it. It's something happened, something strange. If it wasn't my crazy hypothesis, I think it was some other crazy hypothesis. And I'm hoping that by talking about it in this way, talking with you and publishing it in the magazine, that maybe people will come forward who have, if not specific knowledge of this particular case, then, you know, perhaps aeronautical engineers, people who work with Boeing, people who work with Honeywell that made the avionics I was mentioning earlier. There's a lot that we independent investigators still don't know and would be very useful to know.
And do you think that the passengers are alive?
It's possible. I mean, if my hypothesis is correct, then this plane didn't crash. The plane landed somewhere. At least the hijackers are presumably alive, and it's possible. Is it likely? I don't know. Some people have made the case that if you only have three hijackers, it would be very difficult to control a plane full of people. And if my hypothesis is correct, it really casts a really harsh shadow on MH17. Because these were both Malaysia Airlines.
MH17 is the one, of course, that was shot down in Ukraine.
Sorry, that's correct. I assume everyone's as down this rabbit hole as I am. That's right. And it was 4 months later, and of course my jaw dropped because I'd already been thinking about the connection between the context of Russian invasion of eastern Ukraine, the Ukrainian ethnic Russians on the plane and so forth. And so it seemed to me already that there was a strong connection between MH370 and the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And then when MH17 happened, it seemed to me like it was just putting a hat on it. But again, this is admittedly just speculation. But if you just make the assumption that the frequency of the Inmarsat transmissions could be altered, you wind up with a whole daisy chain of conclusions.
Conclusions that our listeners can go online. They can read your article in New York Magazine. They can read your Kindle single and make a decision for themselves about what they think happened. Jeff Wise, thank you so much for speaking with us.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.